Hey, hey, my fellow dream chasers, it's Princess Fizz here. Welcome to another episode of I Have a Dream Show, bringing you multimillionaires from around the world to hear their unique journeys to success, great business wisdom, free mentoring and inspiration. Now, if you're looking to boost your online presence as a small business owner and stand out from the noise, you have to check out my free 10-day course on how to create an amazing web TV show or podcast for any industry. Go to becomeamediapreneur.com and get instant access to the course, and I'll get you ready for launch within 10 days. If you've seen my web TV shows and love my makeup, check out Moonstruck 3D Fiber Lashes, which is the best-selling product by Unique, at ihaveadreamshow.com/beauty. And if you prefer to watch the video shows, then you can go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows, where there's a library of all the I Have a Dream shows to date. So now take out your notepads and enjoy the show. But oh my God, I'm so excited with my guest today. And I've had a little idea of his story, and it threw me off the seat, literally. The stuff that he's been through to reach where he is today is absolutely exceptional. And it's an honor for me to share stories like this to inspire you people that if he can do it, then I can do it too. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome live from Greece, Konstantinos coming in. Thank you so much for joining the show today.
Hey, Princess Fizz, thanks for having me on the show. It is an honor. And hey, guys, everybody watching, it's a pleasure to be on talking, with Princess and to you guys. So, let's get this party started. Princess, I think you're still muted.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now? Okay, the theme of the show, guys, is video marketing. So specifically animated videos, okay? So we're going to talk about that as well. And we're going to talk about how to close multi-million deals, okay? So a bit of sales training as well. But Kay, can we talk about you? I mean, I want to know more about your journey as an entrepreneur. I mean, you've gone through quite a bit on your journey. Can we start from maybe around the 16 age mark, how it all started? What was your lifestyle like then?
Am I unmuted? Yes, awesome. So definitely. So guys, ladies and gentlemen, life has not been, a breeze to say the least. And actually, just to mention a few things before, that 16 year mark, It's, life really is, like you said, it's what you make of it.
Yes.
And, when I was young, I was given birth by, by a couple. We're not going to go too much into that story, but they basically, left me in front of a church when I was about half a year old. And, I got sent to the adoption agency, and, I was very, very fortunate to be, to have been selected for, to come into a family by two of the most, intelligent people, and people with huge hearts, my mother and my father that I love so much. And so, my dad used to race, in rallies, and, and my parents met, at the embassy, when they were very young. We didn't have that much money, but we traveled, we got to travel a lot and experience different cultures from when I was young. And then, during the teenage years, I actually moved down to Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. And as a lot of people, who have, lived, in those areas know, there tends to be in some particular areas, a lot of gang violence.
Right.
Some pretty, pretty severe, not so pleasant, gang violence and, just situations that arise. And,
Kay, can I just ask you one thing? You know, when you found out you're adopted, what age did you find out that you were actually adopted?
I actually found out during the age of, 13.
How did that feel for you?
Honestly, my only thought was that I didn't care about, my birth parents, because the current parents that I had were so nice to me and took such good care of me. Right. So it's, family... That's my family, right?
Right. So did that teach you a lesson that blood is thicker than water is not really true?
No, definitely. I mean, everything in life, people sometimes, because you talked about business before, they're like, Greco, Constantinos, how did you make all these big things happen? And I explained to them, I'm like, it's not me, guys. It's me, it's my family, it's my friends, and it's my team. And it's a joint effort, right? Because we're all doing it together. So I believe, whoever sticks around in life with you throughout whatever you go through, that's family.
That's family, absolutely beautiful. So what happened with this gang then? So what was that culture like for you? You're quite young at that time as well, weren't you?
Yeah, like here's the thing, so I didn't grow up in Canada, so I was a kid who, I grew up, visiting nice places, going to museums. So the culture shock was pretty huge for me, right? Entering, this environment with all these gangs and all these people who love violence all the time. But as always in life, no matter what situation anybody is in, be it anything harsh in life itself or in business, right? We have to adapt, okay? And so basically, the gang violence. I went to help out a buddy. I used to play a lot of basketball. I wanted to go into the NBA when I was older, so I even left. I didn't go to school. I didn't go to anything else other than playing basketball 8 to 10 hours a day. And so there was this one kid who wasn't as popular and didn't have as many friends, this Korean kid. And so we ended up inviting him to play with us. And there was a period of a month where he went from coming every day to not coming for over a month. So I went to check out what was going on with this kid, and it ended up that they were harassing him and, physically abusing him in his high school. And so I went to that high school to talk to, the party, right, that was conflicting with my friend. And they saw it as a sign of rebellion or whatever, who knows what these people have in their minds and what goes on in their minds. But we ended up, making a long story short, a lot of conflicts with, those individuals. And I did end up getting kicked out of Canada. And so, that was for me, that was the first, very big low in my life, getting, kicked out of a country, because it's not nice when they come to you and they're like, hey guys, you have 7 days to, pack up your stuff and move elsewhere. You're muted again.
Do you know what? It's this microphone. I'm going to change it to the other side now because I don't think I can deal with the. Okay, yes, okay. I was saying, so being kicked out of a country, okay, did you have any support at that time? What was your direction? What were you thinking? I mean, wasn't it a kind of a emotionally draining? Like, what do I do now?
After that we did, I moved to Turkey, which was, I still remember the first night that we moved to Turkey. I was downtown in, a kind of poor area in Taksim Square. Taksim is, the center down there in Istanbul. And I looked around, and from going to Canada, right, where everything is big, everything is luxurious and everything is, well delivered. To being, in the center of a city where, which looks like an atomic bomb has gone through that city. And you're thinking, and I think to myself, I'm like, wow, what did I get myself into now? What is this place? So I was feeling definitely a little bit confused and I guess mostly sad due to the lack of having to leave my friends behind.
Right. So you couldn't go back to Canada at all? Is that what you were actually banned from that country? Was it to that extent?
No, no more Canada. I can go to the US, but not to Canada.
Okay. So what happened then? I mean, did you meet people that maybe got, I mean, what was your direction? What were your thoughts? Like, what was your direction? Where did you want to go from there?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Being a kid that had never interacted with that gang element before, like I said, it all came with such a big cultural shock to me. And my defenses were up, right? Because it's a different thing than, to have the type of friends where you're going out and you're going to have a coffee or you're going to see a movie and that's your innocent life, right? In a bubble. And it's different, walking out on the streets and not knowing, where that stab wound or where that gunshot is going to come from. And especially at that young age where you're just becoming, a teenager, it really affects with your mind. And so, moving to Turkey, I went to some high schools, but because I have, I'm from Greece, and over there, unfortunately, in the school that I chose to go to, You know, there was the American side and there was the Turkish side. So every single day during, you know, recess, you know, recess is, you know, lunchtime where you go out and have fun. A lot of people from that Turkish side were trying to fight with me or be abusive in many ways. So it was, you know, the way that life brought it, it was kind of a continuation, right, of Canada, right, having to have your defenses up, having to, you know, be, you know, always on guard.
Yeah.
To protect oneself, right? And so, you know, with all those situations, I guess, you know, you have, you know, you go out more, you have the alcohol, you have, you know, taking different substances. And during the years in Turkey, I could, whatever movie I've seen, be it, you know, movies with the wildest parties in Ibiza to, you know, movies like Swordfish or whatever the, you know, whatever the case, very extreme scenarios, were pretty much the lifestyle for, you know, those years up until, you know, when I was about 19 and I decided to put all that stuff behind me and just take a stand and say, you know, because at 19, you know, after Turkey, I went to, you know, I found myself in the Czech Republic. I'm not going to go too much into the details of that, but when I went to Czech Republic, I was going to try and learn, you know, get some education because I was kicked out of a lot of schools and there wasn't many schools around the world that would take me at that point. And so I entered the Czech Republic to, you know, receive some education, and it wasn't what I thought it was. It was, you know, they took us, they took our clothes, they took our cigarettes, they took everything we owned, and we were essentially working, you know, lumberjack work, you know, doing things like that for, you know, 10, 15 hours a day, smack down in the middle of nowhere in the forest. So I'm not going to go too, I'm not going to go too much into.
The reason I'm asking you these questions, Kay, is because it seems like one after the other catastrophe has been happening on your journey. So as a young boy, you know, you build up this kind of emotion because you're going through hormones as well, and there's also kind of extreme behavior that people aren't really used to. So there is an element of anger being built up, you know, inside. I want to know how you got control of that anger and that power, because there's a very strong passion being built over the years, you know, where you can't control the external circumstances, but you can actually control within what's going on. So do you feel when you went to Czech Republic and that education system kind of helped you manage those feelings that are built up?
In the Czech Republic, like, as I said, in Toronto, I experienced, you know, the Toronto gangs. In Turkey, you know, you're from Iran, right? So I guess you can pretty much understand what kind of people exist in Turkey. But in the Czech Republic, I met underground fighters, stuff that I'd never seen before, violence and just things that I'd never, even with the past experiences, it was just another level of hardships and brutality, right? And so...
that messes with your head, Kay. That messes with your head. How do you deal with that psychologically? You know, I mean, unless you become one of them for it to be normal, you know, otherwise, how do you detach yourself from what the events are without becoming it?
Yeah, I mean, it is crazy. You know, there were many nights where, because I was also young, I would just sit down in my, you know, lie down on my mattress.
Yeah.
And one night I cried myself to sleep. But it's really hard. It's like you have to be strong, because my first night, for example, in Czech Republic, I was, you know, in my, you know, 4 meter by 4 meter wooden box with steel bars on, you know, through the window, and everything was stripped from me. And then this other kid, you know, he saw that, you know, it was my first day there and I couldn't sleep. And he opened up, the floorboard and he had snuck in an MP3 player.
Right.
And so he gave me that MP3. He's like, here, bro, you know, listen to this. And so I put those headphones on and I was, you know, at the window with the steel bars, and it was in the middle of the forest in an unknown place. And it was raining a lot. And the first song that came on was Tupac's song, you know, where he said, you know, as soon as I get home. And so at that point, it just blew my mind into tears, because I was thinking about my mom. I was thinking about, you know, just all these things that, you know, I took for granted, you know, even at what I thought were the worst situations, because And it reminded me of the scene in Istanbul when I was like, where am I now? And then that night, it's like, that was paradise. You know, now it's like everything, there is nothing left. And so it is hard. And when I moved to Spain, you know, I was so lucky and fortunate. Like I said, you know, my mom was in Spain. So after I got out, I went to see my mom and my family. And I was fortunate enough to have very good friends, because when I arrived in Spain, I couldn't see colors, I couldn't smell anything, and I couldn't taste the difference between any food, because I was completely dead inside. So since then, it has been, you know, even up to now, and now it's, you know, I just turned 28, so, you know, I left all that stuff, behind me when I was 19. So it's been, 8 to 9 years, and every day I'm still getting to experience more love, understand more emotions, you know, and open my eyes to the beauty of the world and what is possible. But here's the thing, right? A lot of people just don't want to do the work. Okay. Because if I went through all those things, like at 19 years old, I used to do more drugs than half of Ibiza combined.
Yes.
Okay. And I was with the Dominicans and the Puerto Ricans and just, you know, people that are not, you know, your everyday happy people. And even when I quit, you know, at 19 years old, I was watching a movie, okay? And in that movie, I was with the Dominicans in their club, and there was gangster people in that movie, but then there was one guy in a suit, and he extended his arm, and he said, marketing director. And in my mind, I was like, oh my God, what does this mean? Marketing director? And so I looked at the guys, you know, and then I started thinking about my grandfather, who came from Minor Asia to Greece during the war, and with nothing, they had slaughtered half of his family, and he became the number one, well, one of the number one lawyers in the entire country. And my grandfather is the only person that I keep his photograph in my wallet, because he never swears, and he's, for me, the perfect man. So smart, takes care of everybody, such an open heart. And, you know, and I thought of him, and I'm like, right now I'm 19. I have more backup than the army of Spain. I have, you know, more girls, which at that point for a young man is, you know, something that every guy I think desires. I have, you know, a lot of money, but what I haven't done is I haven't earned it in a way that makes me a great member of society where I'm positively contributing. And so I saw everybody and I left. I didn't go anywhere, not my place, not my friend's place, nowhere. I went to my parents' house, and I'm like, Mom, everything changes today. So for 2 weeks, I was stuck in bed, and for the first few days, because, you know, I wanted to quit all those drugs, and I literally felt like everything was black, and my body was spasming. I had spasms like The Exorcist movie, and I felt like I was in a cage where everything was dark, and I was naked. And I had, you know, an 18-wheeler, right, that was hooked to my back with the same hooks that you hang the cows and the animals, you know, at the meat stores. And I felt like the pain inside, like that's what it felt like, because it was so painful to leave all that stuff behind, not just the drug addiction, but, you know, mentally. And the only thing that kept me going was my mom's voice saying, you know, it's going to be okay. You can do it. I believe in you. But for me, the pain was so severe that I every second for those next few days was the most pain I had ever felt. But it's, you know, you have to believe. You have to believe. And, so you know,
sorry to interrupt you, Cabe, forgive me. Mm-hmm. But everything that's leading up to this event, this breakthrough that you're about to have, right? Do you think it's to open you up to something? Is that pain kind of leading you somewhere for a breakthrough? What do you think what is the magic in that pain? What are you supposed to learn from that?
Good question. You know, I haven't like, I, you know, it's just number one, I believe that everybody just has to believe in themselves.
Right.
And everybody talks about, you know, if plan A doesn't work, there's plan, you know, there's so many letters to the alphabet. I think that's complete crap. Okay. And everything in life, with the girl you're going to marry or the guy you're going to marry, with your family, your friends, your business, right? Everything has to, you have to know exactly what you want. And no matter what happens, you have to go after that one thing. You have to love you know, fully. You have to commit yourself to your business fully, right? And so I think that's one thing. And the other thing is, you know, you have to be a man or a woman, you know, your own man or your own woman, okay? Meaning that, you know, now in business, I understand this a lot in the business aspect, because a lot of people face, you know, with getting investors on board. They think, oh man, you know, I'm gonna get this $10 million investment round. I'm gonna go, you know, buy this Ferrari, this Porsche, this beach house. But it's not like that. They want, everybody wants, well, not everybody, but a lot of people want other people to do it for them. And if you do it yourself, you know, you're gonna appreciate it more, you're gonna learn it more, and you know, you're gonna be that much more competent to not only do that and achieve that one thing, but achieve, you know, thousands of more things. And I apologize, the church is here, and it's, I don't know if you can hear it, but they're ringing the bells now.
We can hear, that's fabulous. So I think everything that you went through, Kay, is because it is for this awareness that you actually understood, you know, understanding what business is really. So what got you into business? That's the magic question now.
So yeah, no, that's, you know, it's very interesting how this happened, because like I said, that movie where the guy extended his arm and he said marketing director. Uh-huh. So I went after I recuperated from that, you know, the previous incident that we talked about, I went and I asked my mom, I'm like, hey, can I utilize your PC? And so I wasn't the type of, you know, I didn't know too much about, you know, the internet or, you know, computers. So I started typing away, and I went and I'm like, what is marketing director, right? So I Googled that term, and I read over a bunch of things. And during my discovery of the word, you know, marketing director, wow, I stumbled upon an individual who owned 7 companies. Uh-huh. And to me, that individual looked like James Bond, because I didn't even know one person who owned one company. Right. And so, you know, it had his Skype information, and for that, you know, I downloaded Skype for the first time and I connected with him, and he's like, you know, what do you want? And I'm like, I want to be a marketing director at your company.
Wow.
And yeah, you know, zero experience, zero everything, but I knew that I wanted, you know, that position. And so he said, you know, he's like, hey, slow down, kid, you know, I'm going to put you in sales. And so within a 3-month period, I went from sales to sales director, to the marketing department, to marketing director, and to starting my own business with that guy, because I was just so passionate to learn, and that, you know, I excelled very, very fast. And then I came to him one day and I'm like, hey, I'm bringing you all these customers. Uh-huh. I want 50% of the value of each customer. And he's like, you know, the only way we can do this, uh-huh, is if we start our own company together. So, you know,
that's fabulous. Oh my goodness. So I think what he saw in you was certainty, wasn't it? That you know what you want, and mm-hmm, you've got that drive to make it happen no matter what. I mean, confronting him as a young kid to be a marketing director, he must have seen something in you to give you that opportunity, right? So that's an excellent lesson. Guys, we've got so many wonderful comments coming in. Thank you so much. Very, very inspirational, Kay. Louise is saying so. Carlos is saying that, oh my goodness, what amazing story. Okay, so as we go along, we'll take some more questions, guys, okay? So ask some specific questions if you've got any about video marketing. So how did you get into becoming your own entrepreneur then, like starting up yourself?
Okay, yeah, so I mean, we made a ton of money in that company back in Spain. And then for some reason, when we had, I think, 70 or 80,000 euros that had, that I just closed, and they were, you know, because he had to collect the money because I was very young and I didn't know better. And then he gave me my portion. And so he took the 70, 80,000 and he left. He went to another island. So, you know, he completely abandoned me with all those clients who were high-level clients, because they were directors of, you know, banks, of major banks in Spain, major, you know, one of the 3 top psychiatrists in all of Spain. And so I was left, you know, and I was really puzzled and confused because I didn't know what to do. Luckily, everybody said that I'm a very good person, and, you know, they didn't blame me and they blamed him, and, you know, I didn't really have any, you know, bad conflicts. But anyway, you know, moving along, the crisis happened, and I came to Greece to support people. And so I came with, you know, some money. And, but when I came here, you had people who were making, you know, 500,000, 1 million, 10 million that had gone from making that amount of money to making nothing. Mm-hmm. So everybody was in the situation where they were getting everything confiscated and this and that. So I spent the first year here in Greece trying to work with everybody, trying to get them back on their feet So they don't lose everything. Some lost some things, some lost some assets, but you know, the people that I worked with, you know, they have their homes, the cars, and the majority of the stuff, you know, that's theirs. And after that, I started Doodle Video. And when I was young, I was very, very talented in drawing cartoons and paintings. And so I started drawing it out myself. And, you know, Well, I did draw myself, but I, like, at that point, I was working with Audi, Ducati, and Rossi, which is Europe's biggest educational franchise. I had all the big customers here as my personal, you know, consulting or marketing clients. And so one day I was in the office of Rossi, Europe's biggest educational franchise, and we were doing a whole series of videos. And during my lunch break, I saw a doodle video, whiteboard video, for the first time. Right. And I thought to myself, I'm like, wow, you know, this is what we need to do. Right. And so I picked up the phone and I contacted the two companies that were doing a decent job at that time. And everybody quoted me $100,000 or $20,000 or whatever. I don't remember the exact amount right now, but a lot of money for a single minute of video. But here was the crazy part. Paying a lot of money is not bad, but having a turnaround of a month or 2 months for 1 minute of video and needing to do a whole series of videos, it doesn't work out, right? So I started drawing them myself, and I'm like, you know what? This is a new industry. I'm going to take this industry over. And so I started drawing it, and I'm selling it, and then I started making more and more and more money, and I hired, you know, the best people on the planet that I could find. And the business started skyrocketing, and then the moment, you know, that moment where you hit it and you're like, you know, be it, you know, 14K day or a $1 billion deal or that, and you feel that freedom, you're like, yes. I've made it.
Yes.
And once that day came, in 2 days from that day, Cypress collapsed and filed for bankruptcy.
Right.
I lost all my money. Okay. And because my, that company right now, Doodle Video, is in the US, it's US based, before it was in Cyprus. Sorry. And so my whole world once again came crashing down, because not only did I lose money, but all the money that came, that I was being paid by, yes, it's my girlfriend. And all the money that I was being paid through PayPal. So PayPal placed that, screw PayPal, man. And so they placed the limit for me, the holding limit of 12 months. And so for 12 months, all the money that I was selling the videos for were locked into PayPal. And while I was growing that company, I had to work for a ton of other clients to make sure, because I had hired the best video teams on the marketplace. I had to pay them a ton of money, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I had to work simultaneously with consulting clients so I can get their money, pay my team, so I can keep the business going. But that's what I'm talking about. You have to know what you want, because my goal was, I'm going to become the GoDaddy.com of video production. I didn't want a video. I didn't want a seven-figure company. I wanted something that I can sell for $300, $500 million, maybe more. And so, you know, yeah, and that's the story. You know, then we were doing good. Now we're servicing, you know, Inc. 500, a ton of, like, you know, the biggest, most famous marketers. We have, you know, fortunate to have very good partners in the business, and we're thriving. So,
okay, tell me, right? Okay, we've got one question coming. I'm going to take this straight after. Okay, is it Sanya? Sanya, I'm going to take your question in 1 minute. Okay, so Kay, you know these challenges that come up in business. What kind of mindset do you have to be in then? What skills do you have to deal with them when everything is going wrong? Like, you know, like like PayPal not giving your money, or a company shutting down, or how do you deal with that mentally? What state of mind do you need to be in?
So I think the state of mind is, it's not so much, you know, it's like, how do I solve the problem? Now I'm faced with X, and instead of having the mindset, which is like, you know, oh, pity me, poor me, you know, I forget that, you know, it's, I have this problem. Without even thinking about it for an extra second, all right, what are the steps I need to solve this and to overcome it and to get to the next level? Does that answer the question?
It absolutely does. So not become part of the problem. So don't dwell in it, right? So detach yourself immediately and see it as it is, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you can solve a problem, Why worry about it?
Right.
Again, though, if you can't solve a problem, why worry about it? You know what I mean?
Excellent point. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Right. So, Sania, I'm going to take your question. How did you close those big deals? Is there any sales strategies that you can give me? Because I struggle getting high profile clients.
So, I mean, here's the thing. So I've built everything that I've built, and I've also partnered. I take equity in companies, you know, who do services or high ticket offers, or, you know, any company that I, you know, that I think has potential. And I've had 100% success rate creating any single company I've been involved with into a 6- or 7-figure company. And I have done all of this without doing social media funnels. I don't email my email list. I don't do any of the stuff that everybody else recommends, which I'm not, you know, and by saying this, I'm not saying that what they're doing is wrong, but I believe, you know, funnels and all that stuff is, how can I manipulate, how can I extract the higher conversion rates from all these different sectors? And that's needed, and that can add millions and hundreds of millions to your bottom line if you have the right funnels, the right emails, the right, you know, strategies everywhere. But what you need to have is you need to have the best product on the marketplace. And I'm gonna say this in a way, I'm gonna put this into context, which is not a business context, but I mean, there's many, okay, so guys love women, okay? Guys love women. So if two guys are, you know, are outside, you know, at the beach, okay, and they're having burgers and beer and they're just, you know, cracking jokes and having fun, and two girls walk up to those guys. One of the girls, she's really beautiful, right? She's elegant, right? And for me, you know, beautiful can be also sexy, right? Physical beauty, which is great. But for me, I think that most men and most accomplished men, they love a girl who is beautiful on the inside, who is elegant, who knows how to talk, right? Who has that energy of you know, a princess or an angel. And so one of the girls has that, has both the look and that personality. And she smiles, and you just want to pick her up and hug her. Now, girl number two, she's aggressive. She's not that, you know, physically attractive, but it's her attitude, it's misery, it's chaos, it's, you know, making fun of other people, pointing fingers like, haha, look at that person fell off his bike, okay? So if those two women came up to the two guys, okay, girl number one, right, doesn't even have to open her mouth. So the two guys choose her. Number two, though, number two, even if she says something, the only thing she could possibly say to make them even consider girl number two is, I have AIDS, and they'll still think about it, right? Because she has the amazing personality. Okay, and so I mean, everybody's gonna choose girl number one. So if you go ahead and you make your product in a way that makes everybody wanna choose that product, you don't need anything. You have to do no convincing. Right? When people come to me, and they're like, all right, I want to buy a video sales letter. And they're like, how much does it cost? I'm like, how many minutes? These many minutes. And I'm like, all right, 60 grand. And they're like, all right, well, that other guy charges 5 grand. And I'm like, okay, has that other guy, you know, created, you know, $300 million in extra sales for his VSL clients over the last year?
Right.
Has he created a million? Probably not. Right. So there's a big difference. I don't have to do any convincing. And if you can figure out how to craft your product so that it's the best on the marketplace, then, you know, you don't, the marketing is very, very secondary because the thing just sells itself. Does that answer?
Yeah. So the product has to be extraordinary for it to speak, like be remarkable in a way, right? That it actually does it, the job, by just experiencing the product. So that's a great way of saying that, Kay. And what about your own passion, Kay, for the product? You know, being successful in sales, how much do you have to believe in the product yourself?
About believing, so here's the thing, like a Doodle Video or in any of the other companies that we work in, even if we do have the best product, every 2 to 3 months, every single product changes. It's never the same for more than 2 to 3 months. Because we want to keep making it better, and making the value in my mind always has to be, if the customer spends $1, they have to get $20 in value and in results back from that, you know, from that product or service. But I think, you know, it's I think it goes back to the previous question, because if you believe in the product, that excitement and that, you know, security portrays as well when you're talking to an individual. Like for me, when people, I have, you know, I have a new startup and people wanted to, you know, invest $2 million into that startup. It took me less than 30 minutes on that call to take that from $2 to $5 million investment rate, you know, valuing that new startup at $20 million.
Wow.
Okay. And so, but it was, it was the best product. It's a very good investment that they made. But I came in and here's also, I think there's a very big difference in mindset between selling lower end goods and selling higher end goods. And because for me, you know, Princess, you know, Don Wilson, right? Like I went to do a Teespring, you know, I put a t-shirt up on Teespring and I spent like, you know, $2,000 on ads and it, you know, it flopped. It was crap. Yeah. And excuse my language. But, you know, I was speaking with Don and he was laughing at me. He's like, bro, it's because you don't care about selling the t-shirt. Right. And I'm like, bro, you're probably right, you know. So I think there's some people and some businesses, especially on the higher end level, where if I'm going to invite somebody from Dubai or from Italy or from France versus the United States, it's I'm going to probably want to invite that person to get to know me. We're going to have a drink. We're going to go out for dinner, for lunch. We're going to associate ourselves before talking about business.
Yes.
And then, but people from the States, they don't, you know, people from the States want to come into the deal and, you know, it's like, what's in it for me? What do I need to do? What are you going to do? What the end result is going to be? So I think it's a lot about understanding as well, you know, who you're talking to and who you're negotiating with so you can put yourself in the right mindset to sell that specific person.
Excellent. I think you just put another piece of the puzzle together, Kay, because your experiences from a young age, I think you started to understand what people are like. You know, you started to understand how people work, how to communicate with certain people, certain cultures, men, women, age range, you know, that kind of idea, that awareness comes, doesn't it, when you've got like these kind of experiences that happen throughout your life. So I love that. I absolutely love that. So understanding people, guys, it's not all about products and services. It's about understanding their needs and their, you know, if they want it or not. Right. So excellent. So Kay, tell me, okay, we'll take just a couple more things before I take another couple of questions. Kay, so what happened? What happens when someone doesn't have much money and they want to start their own product line? Do you really need a lot of investment to start something up? I mean, in the internet world right now?
So, you know, when Cyprus went bankrupt, here's the crazy part. I had, once I decided to start Doodle Video, and here was why that was the worst time for me. I was so stressed during that time that for months I would be coughing out and spitting out blood.
Oh my goodness.
Because right when I launched Doodle Video, I fired all my corporate clients. Okay. So, and then I got faced with that thing with Cyprus. You know, they were holding all my money in the bank accounts had been gone. And I had to, you know, and I have the biggest of the biggest in Greece. Greece is not a country where you can easily go and find clients that, you know, are going to be spending, you know, even 50 grand.
Yes.
You know, with you, let alone the numbers that I wanted, which were, you know, 250,000 more. And so one day at that, like that one week when all of that chaos happened, I had a 5 euro bill in my hand and I hadn't, you know, I hadn't even bought a can of tuna in 3 days. Wow. And so I got into my, you know, I had an argument with my girlfriend and I left because I was furious. I got into my car and I was driving down the street and I came out of my driveway and I saw a man and he was holding his daughter and his son in his hands. And so I parked my car right after the driveway and I stopped my car and I was looking at my email, you know, how most entrepreneurs do it. You know, we might sit 30 minutes in that car before we, you know, head out for our destination. But I was also thinking about me being angry. I'm like, this is an energy. So I can either be angry and go fight someone or whatever the case is, or I can channel that energy and do something positive with it. So I decided that I'm not going to go back home until I have, I don't remember what the amount was, like a 250,000 euro client. Okay. So, you know, I started driving and when I reached the bottom of that road, I saw that same man who was holding his son and his daughter looking through the trash for food. And I pulled over and I extended my arm and I gave him my last money, right? The 5-euro bill. And because I knew that that guy needed it more than I did.
Right.
You know, and so I proceeded driving and I started looking right, looking left, trying to look at all the big companies that I could find. And that's when I found the Cosmo Car. So Cosmo Car owns Audi, Ducati, and Volkswagen.
Right. That's amazing. Oh my goodness. So
yeah. I was dressed in sports clothes and dirty sports clothes. I looked like a bum. I parked my car in front of the main doors in the Audi dealership and I stormed in.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I found, you know, long story short, I found a salesperson. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with me over there. And I found a salesperson. After 20 or 30 minutes, I convinced them to go into the main building and talk to the secretary, to talk to the marketing director. They rejected me. I kept convincing them. They talked to the marketing director. The marketing director gave me, I don't know, like 5 minutes. He's like, okay, this kid has 5 minutes. So I got the meeting, and the 5-minute meeting turned into a 3-hour meeting. And after 3 hours, the guy was holding me by my arm, telling me, you know, to stay. And I'm like, no, I have to go eat. I'm hungry. And so, yeah, basically, I'm not going to, I got offered a very, very immensely huge deal, you know, for them. And so, you know, you just have to believe in yourself.
What do they see in you? What do they see in you that they accept you as you are, like face value? You know, because normally people have to go through a procedure. They have to go through interviews and second interviews and third interviews to get into. But the entrepreneur world, there's like a magic energy that people want, you know? Do you think you showed that? What do they see in you that you think they give you the opportunity? What are they looking for in people?
That's a hard question to answer. I think it's
like worrying about getting their skills, right? I mean, like going to university, getting their degrees, and it's got nothing to do with that in the entrepreneur world, is it?
Well, here's the thing. It's one of the things is if I had two people that were coming in for an interview, and one of the people got perfect grades in his university, and the other guy got perfect grades, but he paid people to do it for him and he cheated himself all the way through university and into the honor roll. I would choose person number two.
Yeah.
In a second.
I love that. I know exactly why, because it shows that they've got initiative, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it's also, you know, people tend to look at, and I've noticed this in the internet marketing world, and the guys on top of the internet marketing world are just people where I feel like crying out of happiness when we hang out or when we converse, because they're some of the best people I've ever met. But a lot of people I see in the IM world look at people like numbers, and it's, you need to have that personal, you know, connection and that dedication. And I think right now we're living in times where, you know, knowing how to do Excel spreadsheets or PowerPoint presentations or a good video or a good marketing funnel, that's a standard.
Excellent. Excellent. So you should really be in the forefront of all them, right? As an entrepreneur, as a developer of those products or an owner of a business, you should always be at the forefront of the products. Is that right?
What do you mean? Define forefront.
Like be the front of the business. So internet marketing, as you said, is usually numbers. People just look at, you know, who's converting, but it's good to be at the forefront and create relationships with prospects, not just treat them as numbers, because then they buy more from you later on, right?
Yes and no.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think it really depends on, you know, what the business and what, you know, what's being sold. But for me personally, I prefer to have, you know, connections and make my connections with people in the back end. I'm never going to go on social media and showcase my cars or my properties or, you know, brag about it. It's like a screenshot. All right, guys, you know, here $1 million or $100,000 or $10,000.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's, you know, it's who your audience is. I mean, there's some, you know, a lot of big marketers or, you know, even business people or even celebrities, they're being the person they're being, because that resonates with their customers, right? So
got it. Yes, absolutely. Excellent. So Kay, how do you deal with managing a big force then? You know, as your business expanded, hiring new people into your business, how did you manage dealing with your staff? Was there some sort of system that you worked with?
Can you actually, I feel very embarrassed. Give me one moment, please.
No worries.
I'm just going to take the laptop with me.
It usually happens. We usually get out of battery on these shows.
Έλα πάνω στον τέταρτο. Yeah, we were looking at some new offices and I forgot my sunglasses and the real estate lady just came to drop them off. So I mean, right now the structure is I just have a lot of managers and directors.
Right. So how?
And so, yeah, I don't interact with new employees or pretty much anybody anymore. Right. I just have my weekly meetings with everybody. You know, like the head of sales, the head of marketing, the head of this, the head of that.
Right.
And you know, and that's how. But I mean, digital video. I don't know if this is going to help, and I don't know if it's. You know, if it resonates with what most people are doing, but for example, doodle video, we need, you know, when we need new copywriters because the demand is so high.
Yes.
We're going to funnel them in 50 at a time. Right. Everybody comes in. It's like, you want to work here. All right. You have to produce a script with our, hold on guys. Give me a sec. I'm listening to a live podcast webinar. Ευχαριστώ πάρα πολύ. Δεν πειράζει, δεν πειράζει. Όχι, δεν πειράζει. Είδα το μήνυμά σου, θα σου στείλω... Έγινε. Σε ευχαριστώ. Τσάω.
I love the accent.
Yeah, so sorry. This is a bit embarrassing.
No worries. No worries at all. We work from home. That's the magic.
So yeah, totally. I mean, you know, so when people come, there is a lot of, you know, specific criteria in place, right? A lot of people go and they're like, hey, I'm going to try spending $5,000, you know, a month with this guy for Facebook ads, or I'm going to do this. It's like, no, you know, you're not going to go spend $5,000.
Yes.
And the guy might end up producing you nothing and wasting, you know, $20,000 in the marketing budget. And so, you know, for us, we're very strict. We're like, the people have certain criteria they have to meet. Whoever wants to do it can come in. If they qualify, they are going to have a lot of money. And I think that when it comes to hiring people, number one, do it because there is a 0% chance you will go anywhere in life doing things by yourself.
Yes.
And the second thing is, you know, you are the business owner. And this goes back to what we were talking about initially today, where I think people feel entitled.
Uh-huh.
And so here's the thing right now. And I've understood this firsthand, and I'm sure, you know, Princess, you can relate, you know, back in Iran.
Yes.
I'm so lucky to be financially free.
Yes.
You know, I can go spend 40, 60,000 euros in a month on coffee, and it doesn't matter. Uh-huh. But when I go, you know, I don't do that every month. I did do it one month, which was, you know, not that great or responsible. But like when I go out in Greece, the majority of the people living in my country are making 400 euros a month.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so I spend a lot of my time with homeless people, helping people, you know, doing things like that because I enjoy it because everybody has to come up. It's like if I have $1 billion and nobody else is with me, what good does that billion do? It just makes me more miserable.
Absolutely.
But I like here's the thing. And people, if they want a job, they, you know, they need to go and work for that job. They need to feel lucky that you are even employing these people.
Right.
Okay, and like not meaning that the employer is above the employee, we're all a team, but do you agree, Princess, that a lot of people feel entitled right now when it comes to...
Yes, absolutely, and for an opportunity to work with an entrepreneur that's gone through so much, you don't know what you're going to learn from being in that environment. So, you know, you have to work for everything, and you're right, a lot of people do feel that they're entitled to it. And even mentorship, you know, people want you to mentor them, and they think that if you say no, then they're entitled to it. But it's just this, it's not right, because at the end of the day, you have to give some sort of indication that you are prepared to invest in or invest time in. So you need to meet people halfway. But Kay, that's absolutely amazing. Oh my goodness, we've gone through so much. We've got a couple of questions coming in. We'll take them and then we'll wrap up the show, if that's okay with you. We've got Gary. Gary's asking, what is the future of video marketing?
So I believe that right now, this year and the next year are going to be defined by two things, and that's video advertising and video blogs. Right. So right now, I mean, with video advertising, I mean, in all the companies that I own and have equity in,
yes,
except for one, we're targeting business owners, Fortune 500, Inc. 500, medium-sized businesses. And so we're really good at getting targeted clicks. And right now with video ads, with a lot of ads, we're getting anywhere from 200 to 500 website clicks for under $90 on Facebook. Wow. And that's unheard of numbers. And, you know, so that's one. And then video blogs, mm-hmm. And it doesn't just have to be an animated video. I think videos that are animated, videos that are funny, videos that are humorous, mm-hmm. I think that's just the future, not just for, you know, video blogs, but for video ads as well. We're seeing right now a higher conversion rate where in videos where we're more personal with people, right, where we're giving them true value and, you know, where we're making them laugh versus just trying to have, you know, it's like, you know, video ad script that converts at 793%, you know, mass marketing manipulation. No, people don't want that anymore. People want a real one-on-one approach. And so, yeah, to answer your question, video ads and video blogs.
Excellent, excellent. Good stuff. And, okay, hold on. Let's just think of something more. Investments. Do you invest your money anywhere? Okay. Is there any kind of strategy that you can give when it comes to managing money? So does it go back into the company or do you actually invest outside as well?
Well, surprisingly, one of the things that I've learned, Doodle Video, I want to grow that company a lot, and people think that I live off of Doodle Video, where I don't. I barely take any money out of that company. I make my money, I have equity in a lot of companies, and I get money coming in every single month. But for me, just because I'm in Greece right now, I know in the States it's very big to do real estate investment, and I know that I could do it, you know, even from here. But for me, I don't invest in real estate. I like to invest in companies. So, yeah, because, you know, if you can create a company that's going to generate you $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 every single month and have it run by other people or an autopilot, that's what I've been doing, and it's been pretty profitable.
I can imagine, absolutely wonderful. So Kay, tell me, like, after all this money that you've made and the success that you've had, tell me, where does real happiness lie? I mean, is it really in the material kind of gain? I mean, how many houses you have, or how many cars you have, or how many girlfriends you have? Is that where the happiness is, or is there something above that?
The happiness is, you know, today we were at the beach and we had my girlfriend's nephew. He just turned 5, mm-hmm. and you know, we were playing with him, and he was, you know, learning how to swim for the first time. And just holding him in my arms, even though he's not, you know, my kid, it was, you know, that's happiness. For me, happiness is, you know, eating calamaris and fish at the beach, yeah, drinking my coffee, having my beach view, helping other people, you know, family, friends. And, but here's the thing also, I think that, you know, the money a lot of people say this, but I believe that money just makes you into more of what you already are.
Yes.
And we were talking about this a lot, you know, like I know you've met, you know, Kal Mirza, and the guy's like an angel. He's a saint.
Yeah. Totally.
And it's just, you know, I've been very fortunate in the last year where everybody that comes into my life is like you or Calm or just, entrepreneurs who don't, it's not about the money. Yeah. I want the money to do all these, you know, to give this to charity or to do this and to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I believe that real happiness is, you know, because it's different for every person. And I think that also it's freedom.
It's freedom, yeah.
You know, freedom for me is happiness.
Absolutely beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Oh my God. Wow. An amazing show it's been. But Kay, as you are on the I Have a Dream show, I have to ask you to share your dream with us. What is your dream?
So Okay, I've only shared this with three people, one being Calm. And so what I want to do is, like, I believe that right now the entire planet is moving towards innovation, mainly in the technology sector.
Yes.
Okay. And so let's, you know, I'm not really good with dates, but let's say that they invented the airplane 500 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So here is 500 years ago of the invention of the airplane. And so 510 years ago, if you went to someone and you told them, I'm going to fly to the other side of the world in a metal container, you'd be burnt for, you know, witchcraft.
Yes.
And or sorcery or something. And but check this out. 500 years ago it got invented. 510, it was impossible. So at 500 years ago, they were at a crossroads. Okay, they could either invent the airplane or they could figure out how humans can levitate using their minds. Right now it's impossible, but the airplane was impossible and they did it. So they went to this direction. Okay, at the crossroads, they went to technology. And so right now we're heading down that path so much, right, that I believe that the chance, okay, to move down the path of advancing and having a lot of advancements in various areas, utilizing our own capabilities and the resources on our planet, are going to start, you know, getting diminished. So here's, you know, a few years ago, I read this very interesting article. There's an island somewhere, I think, in the Caribbeans or just somewhere in the world, where the fishermen work with the dolphins to catch fish. And so if the island, if this is the island, the fishermen are going to lay their nets over here, and the dolphins are going to go all the way out here, and they're going to form a line and start swimming very fast towards the shore. And so while the dolphins are swimming, the fish start swimming to the shore as well, and they get caught in the nets, okay? So that's a very great example of how, you know, human beings can interact and, like, work together with, yeah, with animals. And here's the thing. Everybody right now talks about how we're, you know, moving away from being social, from interacting with other human beings due to, you know, the smartphones or social media or what have you. But even if we were not so far apart and distant emotionally from each other, think about how lonely we are, because we don't, you know, how many animals and, you know, insects or whatever coexist with us on this planet.
So
I want to have an island, because here in Greece we have a lot of dolphins, a lot of sea turtles, a lot of animals. So I want to dedicate that island, and I want to make a lot of money, because I want to self-fund everything that goes on to that island, with scientists and people, you know, figuring out different ways to interact with those animals, but also with doctors, you know, utilizing plants and, you know, doing different experiments to come up with, you know, cures to various diseases. And, you know, I'm not big on conspiracy theories. I might be very ruthless in my business ventures or what have you, but I'm very innocent in the way that I think and the way that I feel. And so I just want to self-fund everything, because everything that happens on that island is going to be to benefit, you know, mankind, be it, you know, a cure to something, or be it, you know, doing something more with animals and that sort of thing. And so that's one thing. And then another project that I've been doing, you know, for a couple of years is helping homeless people get off the streets. And we've had some success in Spain and Greece. And so just, you know, things like that. Like, the next venture right now, there's a lot of roads here in Greece where, like, if you're in a wheelchair, you have, like, a little place to go down and cross the road. But then when you cross the road, it's not created so that you can get back up, and you're kind of, like, stuck there with oncoming traffic.
Right, right.
And so it's just, you know, it's things like that that benefit people and just make.
Yes. That's amazing, Kay. Oh, my God. Wow. What an amazing dream. And the thing with entrepreneurs is, like, once you reach a mountain, there's another one, isn't there? The dreams just keep getting bigger and bigger. And I love that, Kay. Now, last thing before I let you go, Kay, is the mission of the I Have a Dream show is to create one change in someone today, okay? If they haven't picked up anything today, is to create a change where it will impact their personal life and their business life, and it will lead to generations to come. So if someone was to ask you, what is that one particular change that someone should make today, what would that be?
So the one change. So I'm just going to open up, you know, to discuss this one change. I'm going to be completely open. You know, even, you know, for me, when I go to talk about, you know, $5 million deal or a new partnership, or even to come here on, you know, the I Have a Dream show, I get pretty nervous. I was nervous before the show.
Yeah.
I get shy, even though, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, he's aggressive, or he's this, or he's tough, or it's not like that. And I had my little nephew, you know, I actually took him in my arms and he's like, I love you. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that makes me feel stronger. You know, or now I'm doing a challenge, you know, making, I want to make $1.2 million in 2 weeks with a, you know, a brand new service. And I'm terrified of that challenge, but I'm still going to do it. So the one thing would be, think about, you know, your personal life. If there's a girl or a guy you want to ask out, if there's, you know, a business that you want to start, if there's a client that you want to get, just go do it by any means possible. Like, you'd be surprised. For some clients that I've received and some partners, I have chased them all the way down to their house like a madman. And he's like, he respected me. He signed as a client. And, you know, if there's a girl, right, if you're walking down the street and you see the girl that you think is the girl of your dreams on the other side, you know, and even if, you know, cops are putting you into handcuffs, break those handcuffs, illegally cross the street. If there's like some guy selling roses, grab all the roses and go give it, you know, to the girl and be like, date me. And so, yeah, just I think that everybody should just think about what they want and go do it, because life is one, life is short.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you're not here, you know, obviously, you know, family's first for me, but we're not here for our families. We're not here for anything else but our own self.
Yes.
And our own experiences. And, you know, if you died tomorrow, it would be pretty, pretty sad, you know, if you hadn't done all the things that you want to do. So just go out there and whatever it is, no excuses, no matter how shy you are, if you're trembling, whatever the case might be, just go do it.
That's absolutely beautiful. Oh my goodness. Wow. Thank you so much, Kate. Oh my, I can't, well, okay, brilliant. Thank you so much, Kate, for joining the I Have a Dream show today and gracing our platform with your presence and your experiences and some great, great business knowledge that you've dropped to us with us today. Guys, thank you so much for your comments. It's been absolutely awesome. Go and watch the show again. Watch every little bit, because I'm sure there's golden nuggets in everything that Kay said today. And share the show as well, guys. Spread this kind of knowledge, because a lot of people need this kind of inspiration daily, right? So it's great to help yourself and others as well. And anything else you guys need, just join the membership. It's free. There's a link for Kay if you want to connect with Kay and his doodle video if you want to know more about that. Check it out. There's a link below. But guys, all I can say is dream massive. Just don't hold back with your dreams. Create your reality and take daily action to make this happen, guys. And, you know, so one day I can bring you onto the I Have a Dream show and share your journey with the world too. Thank you so much. Have a fabulous week. Thank you. Thank you, Kay.
Thank you, Princess. Ciao, guys.
Hey, it's Princess Fizz again. I hope you found this show extremely, extremely valuable. Do like and comment and leave a review for this show, and don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends, whoever it will benefit. Go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows if you want to watch the video recording of this show, and leave a comment, write to me. I'd love to hear from my listeners about any suggestions, any takeaways that you had, any suggestions for improvements, and make sure that you sign up to the newsletter as well so you don't miss another episode and you get notified by email. I love you loads. Dream big, chase those dreams, make them a reality so I can bring you onto the I Have a Dream show and share your unique journey with the world.